Psalm 8, for the director of music, according to Gittith, a psalm of David. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honour. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swims the path of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. John chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak in his own, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Margaret. May what I say and what you hear be acceptable to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the theme for this morning is strength in diversity. For those of you who are biologically minded, you will know that in biological systems, diversity is what enables animals and plants and human beings to survive. The more inbred a population is, the more likely it is to suffer from various infectious diseases and so on. And there'll be all sorts of other problems which occur if there is one set of genes, if you like, in a particular population. So diversity is important for all of life to be successful. Mahatma Gandhi famously said, "Our ability to reach unity in diversity will be the beauty and test of our civilization." And you could change the word civilization for the church. Our ability to reach unity in diversity will be the beauty and test of our church. The gospel readings for this morning records Jesus promising to send the Holy Spirit, the Helper and the Spirit of Truth, to his disciples after he had left them. And this was fulfilled, as all of you will know, on the day of Pentecost, which you read about in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit came in a very dramatic way to the disciples who were gathered together in one place, and when tongues like a fire descended upon them, and they all began to speak in different languages. Remember, most of these disciples were from Galilee. They were Galileans. Their educational attainment was poor in Galilee. They weren't sophisticated folks who lived in Jerusalem. They were out in the sticks in Galilee with very little education, laborers and fishermen and others that had gathered with the disciples in Jerusalem. And here they are heard to speak in so many different languages. There must have been at least 15 people groups who were in the crowd who heard and saw this remarkable effect of the Holy Spirit. If you count them up in Acts chapter 2, you'll find there are 15 different people groups. They heard Peter's first great sermon, and many committed their lives to Christ. And on return to their homelands in Mesopotamia, in Phrygia, in Arabia, in Egypt, in Cappadocia, and so on, they would have expressed their newfound faith in the cultural context in which they lived. They were not Christian clones. They gossiped the gospel in the situation in which they found themselves. I'm half Welsh, and if I was preaching this sermon in Wales, I would take a slightly different tack because I know how the people there would react. If I was in Australia, it probably would be slightly different too. Some of the words that I would use would be made to chime with the cultural context of the people who were listening to me. So when these folks went back to their home countries, to their hometowns, as Christian converts, they would have spoken about the gospel in the context in which they found themselves. A recent article in the Expository Times by John Cuby, who's a theologian in St. Andrews, summarizes the action of the Holy Spirit in three one-syllable words. And if you remember nothing from the rest of this morning, remember these three one-syllable words, and they all begin with the letter P. And the first one is props. The Greek word for the Holy Spirit is parakletos, and that means helper. But it can mean, in common parlance of that, it can mean different things. In church speak, but using the same word, it can mean different things. It can mean an advocate, someone who speaks up for you in a court of law. It can mean a medical consultant who gives a second opinion. That's another translation of the word parakletos. But prop is a very good word to describe what the Holy Spirit does. In rugby, and you can see this on the screen, there are three prop forwards there in the scrum, and they provide the stability for the scrum and support the hooker, who will quickly win the ball and then get on with the game. And the prop forwards are big, big guys and girls who keep the scrum up and stop it from collapsing. They prop the whole thing up. And that is the first action of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your prop. The Holy Spirit is your prop. And then the second P is prompt. You all, maybe some of you have been involved in amateur dramatics, or you've been to plays, live plays, and suddenly the actor freezes and can't quite remember the next couple of lines. And there's usually a prompt underneath the stage, as you can see here, who will tell the actor what the next line is, prompting them to go on with what the play is all about. And that's another word which describes the action of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prompts. He prompts us when we're stuck for words to explain our faith. If you were to walk down Byers Road this morning and someone stopped you and said, "Oh, nice to meet you. Where have you been this morning?" And you say, "Well, I've been to Partick Trinity Church of Scotland." And then they say, "Well, why are you going there?" "Ah, well, because I'm a Christian." "What is a Christian?" And so the questions go on. And you may come to a point when you're stuck for words. Where is God? Who is Jesus Christ? Surely that doesn't affect us today in the 21st century. That's old-fashioned talk. That's not relevant to the modern world. What are you going to say? The Holy Spirit at that point will prompt you to give you the right words. Jesus made that promise. He said to his disciples, when you are challenged, when you are imprisoned, as was very likely, and you're confronted, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. So the Holy Spirit is a prompter. He prompts us and gives us the words to say when we're challenged and we have to think through what our Christian faith is all about. And the third P, the Holy Spirit prods. The Holy Spirit prods. The other word for parakletos is comforter. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is described as the comforter, but it literally means giver of courage. The Holy Spirit is a giver of courage and prods us. Now, here is a bit of the Bayeux Tapestry, recording the events of William the Conqueror and the Normans defeating Harold and the Saxons when the last time we were conquered on the British Isles. And underneath this little bit of the Bayeux Tapestry, it shows Bishop Odo of Bayeux. Now, bishops and clergy, if they are, and often did, carry big clubs. And here we see Bishop Odo with a club, a great big club in his hands. And underneath, the caption in Latin says that Bishop Odo comforts the soldiers fighting on the side of William the Conqueror. What was he doing with that club? Well, during the battle, at the beginning of the battle, things didn't go well for the Norman cavalry. The Normans were known throughout Europe as being great horsemen. Their cavalry was to be feared. And when they came, Harold was up on a hill surrounded by his Saxon army, and William the Conqueror and his army were down here, and the cavalry had to charge up the hill towards the Saxons with all sorts of arrows and so on coming down upon them. And in their first assault up the hill, they were overcome by the Saxons. And so they ran and galloped back down the hill. At the bottom of the hill was Bishop Odo with his great big club. And he bashed the rumps of the horses of the cavalry so that the horses would turn around and go back up. Bishop Odo comforts. That's what the Latin says, the Norman cavalry. He prodded them. And of course, we all know what the outcome was. William the Conqueror won, and things would have been very different, probably, if Harold had won the day. Our English would have been slightly different. So the Holy Spirit prods. He prods. Now the church, you and I, need to be prodded from time to time. Otherwise, we will settle back in our old ways, do things the way we've always done them. But we need to be prodded out of that. The church needs to be prodded out of its ruts before the ruts become graves. I'll say that again. The church needs to be prodded out of its ruts before the ruts become graves. Now, as you all know, the Church of Scotland is going through a tough time at the moment. It's going through a period of reorganization. Some people would say it's going through a period of decline. Churches are closing. Fewer people are entering the ministry in the Church of Scotland. And churches in Glasgow Presbytery, are no different. There's to be a 45% cut in the number of ministerial posts in Glasgow Presbytery. 45%. And that means churches have to start doing things differently. They have to work together. They have, first of all, to see that their main aim is mission. The main aim is mission to those around us. And we may need to do that mission in different ways. And we may need to not cling to our buildings in the way that we have in the past and be open to the Holy Spirit prodding us to do something different. And in our own locality in the West End, we're going through this period of forming clusters, of seeing how we can work together. We're all different. The congregation here in Partick Trinity is different from that in Wellington and that in Kelvinside Hillhead and that in Kelvin Bridge. They're all different. But there is strength in diversity. There is strength in diversity. And we want to pray that in our own situations and in our own personal lives, the Holy Spirit will prop, will prompt, and prod us individually and as a church to achieve great things for the kingdom of God. And I would pray that for me, I will be propped and prompted and prodded. And for all of us, the Holy Spirit will work in our lives in that way, so that ultimately the kingdom of God in the West End will extend and grow, and we will be effective witnesses to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.